facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to Christmas Eve Eve on The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Yes, it is Thursday, December the 23rd, 2021. It is the night before Christmas. And it's also Festivus.
Hey! Happy Festivus, everyone!
That's right. The Festivus for the rest of us. But only one of these two holidays, Christmas and Festivus, are real. And I bet you know which one isn't. But it's still kind of fun. We are going to talk about Festivus later. And I do hope that Mike Kendall, VP of Programming here at Relevant Radio, he's a huge Festivus fan, huge Seinfeld fan. Hope he's listening to the program. I think you're going to have a lot of fun later on, Mike, if you're listening. And anybody else who's into this, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some feats of strength, some airing of grievances. That's part of the Festivus magic. All of that is coming up later on the show. And by the way, today is our last live show of 2021 on The Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149 is the number to call toll free to talk to me. It's your last chance to do it this year. So call in. Maybe you want to talk about what your favorite episode of the year was, what your favorite moment on the show of 2021 was. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Once again, you can also email the program, Cale, at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter. You could also tweet those moments, those magical moments, to me at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, at Cale Clark is my Twitter handle. And the show account, a.k.a. the Producer Lucas shadow account, is at Cale Clark Show. Yeah. And so this is kind of like, this is kind of like the last day of school, because I think probably about half the people at Relevant Radio are probably already on vacation. So we are still trucking away. We are still grinding away because we don't want to go home to our families for Christmas. We want to use work to avoid our families. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. But we want to give you as much value for your listening time as possible. So we are here till the bitter end. This is the last possible day we could have a live program, but don't worry. The Cale Clark Show and the Faith Explained program as well will still be running during the holidays, kind of the best of the last little while. And please do listen. You can still listen. Keep the ratings up. So they'll still keep me on staff here next year. So you're going to hear some of the best stuff of recent times over the break. So you may have some things going on, but you can always listen to the podcasts and stream them on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. But it's kind of like the last day of school. And the last day of school before Christmas break, let's face it, no work actually gets done. But some date has to, we have to have some date as the last date. So they pick a day and the kids just kind of go there and maybe they cut up a little bit. Maybe they have a little bit more fun than usual, and that's what we're going to do today. We're still going to do some work, though. I've done some work for you, so you don't have to, but I prepared some stuff for you, and we're going to be able to enjoy ourselves a little bit. And I don't even know if Father Rocky is listening, so we might be able to get away with some things that we don't normally get to do here on the Cale Clark Show. Are you, what are you laughing
about?
Don't
say that too loudly, Cale.
Oh, he might be around?
Yeah, he might be around.
Oh, okay, all right. So, okay, so this is kind of like Santa and the elves. The elves have to look busy, right? So,
exactly.
That's it. So we will do that. We will do that. So I want to ask you this. What was your favorite moment or episode of the last year on the show or guest or whatever it kind of stuck out in your mind? I want to hear about that. 888-914-9149. And I want to give you another question that you can answer. I subscribe to an interesting email newsletter. These are different from the chain letters that my dad is so fond of sending. He might be listening. So, it's okay, Dad. You can keep sending them. I'll never open them, but you can keep sending them. And, love you, Dad. Love you. I do get a newsletter that I sign up for, that I intentionally did sign up for. And that is from James Clear. And he's the author of Atomic Habits. Now, James Clear is, I've talked about his work on the program before. Atomic Habits is a great book. It's a nice book to read in preparation for the new year. It'd be kind of cool if we got James Clear on the program, Lucas. Maybe we can work on that. I don't know if he'd lower himself to appear on this on this program or not. But anyways, I like his stuff. And he's got a cool newsletter called the 321 newsletter, which you can get on jamesclear.com. You can sign up for that. And I'm just trying to tell you what he said today. This is a really, really cool newsletter that he sent out for the end of the year, because he reminded us all that as of tomorrow, Christmas Eve, don't forget, there's still one whole week left in 2021. There's a whole week left for you to get something done here. So what is something meaningful? Now, he asked the question, so what he does in his newsletter is he has three ideas, two quotes, and one question that you can consider this week. So that's why he calls it the 321 newsletter. Three ideas, two quotes, and one question. And I'll tell you what his ideas are. I'll share those with you. They're kind of fun. But the question was, the one question was, what is something meaningful that you can accomplish in the final week of the year? The year isn't over yet. End on a high note. And I sort of thought we could ask, what is something meaningful for God that you can accomplish in the final week of the year? Let me know. 888-914-9149. And we could get some real momentum rolling into 2022. But anyway, so I'll share with you the quotes, the three quotes from James Clear, which I thought were kind of fun. I'll just share it for good times here. The first one is, if you're not working hard, ideas don't matter. The best idea is worthless without execution. Now, that's a good point. And then he says, if you're already working hard, ideas are crucial. Most effort is wasted on mediocre ideas. That's a good quote. So if you're not working hard, you may have the best idea in the world, but if you're not working at making it a reality, you can't copyright an idea, folks, but you can patent a product or a book or something like that. So if you're not working hard, ideas don't matter. The best idea is worthless without execution. Got to actually do the work. But if you're already working hard, it's really important to work on the right things. If you're already working hard, ideas are crucial because you don't want to waste effort on mediocre ideas. And that's really one of the reasons that I became Catholic, because I was passionately investigating the truth about Jesus and the church, because it's the most important question in life. Did Jesus really rise from the dead or not? It makes all the difference in the world. As St. Paul says, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Well, let's answer the ultimate questions first. Let's get that straight, because that's not wasted effort at all. That's why we do what we do here on Relevant Radio. But anyway, so great quote. I'll give you two more ideas real quick from his newsletter, James Clear. Quote number two is, don't over-improve your weaknesses. If you're not good at something, work on it until it no longer prevents your progress, but the bulk of your time is better spent maximizing your strengths. That's a good line too. So sometimes we spend so much time working on our weaknesses, but they're not things that we're ever going to be really, really great at. And if you're a golfer, there might be some elements of your golf game that you're just, let's say you have a great short game, you're an awesome putter, you're great from 100 yards in, but your iron play just isn't that great. You should work on that a little bit, but don't spend too much time. Don't forget what you're really great at and make sure that's really, really polished, maximizing your strengths. But you have to at least be passable at the other skills of the game as well. And then the last one in his 321 newsletter, the three ideas from James Clear, life rarely changes in a positive way without an increase in responsibility. That can mean taking ownership of your health or committing to a relationship or starting a business. Whatever it is, if you want the trajectory to change, the amount of responsibility usually has to change. So you've got to take on some responsibility if you want things to get better. And that's really, in a sense, what New Year's resolutions are all about. But we're not there yet. We're not even at Christmas. So we will get there when we get there. But a good question from James Clear that we can adopt today is, what is something meaningful for God that you can accomplish in the final week of the year? As of tomorrow, there'll be 7 days left in 2021. Don't waste them. Don't waste them. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. It is the last live program of 2021. And I do want to, before we get into Festivus, and I know that a lot of you are waiting for this, let's look at the actual historical holiday of Christmas. And yesterday on the program, if you missed it, you can check the podcast at relevantradio.com or on the app, wherever you get your podcasts. You might be an Apple Podcast guy or Spotify. We're there too. We looked at some of the historical bedrock of the existence of Christ and of some stuff going on around Christmas, the manger. There was no room in the inn. Does that mean that there was a hotel, a Bethlehem Hilton that they couldn't get into? No, we talked all about that. So check that podcast. That was a lot of fun. But one question that I wanted to ask, we didn't really have time to get around to it, but I want to talk about it today because it's our last chance before Christmas. Was Jesus really born on December the 25th? A lot of scholars say no. A lot of scholars say no. Some people say it doesn't really matter when he was born. Here's an example of what some scholars say about this, and maybe you've heard this. There's a biblical scholar by the name of Richard T. France, and he says that the traditional date of Christmas is perhaps the least likely from a historical point of view. Now, why do they say that? Why do they say that? Well, these scholars say that there's no evidence that December the 25th was celebrated as Christmas before the 4th century in the Western Church, which they say it's too late. It's too late. It's way too late to be historical. It's so far removed from the 1st century. And another thing that they say about this is if you look at the shepherds watching their flocks by night, in the fields. That's mentioned, for example, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. If you take that as historical, when did shepherds actually do that? When did they watch their flocks in the field? Between March and November, usually, in the Holy Land. So that would make December somewhat unlikely for the birth to have taken place. This is the argument against it. But again, it's not necessarily the end of the world if Jesus wasn't. We do know that he was born, obviously. He was a historical person. And some might say December the 25th is just as good a day as any to celebrate that because he was born. Again, go to yesterday's podcast, to get the deets on that because I have some quotes from historians outside the Bible, non-Christian, non-Catholic historians. They don't have an axe to grind. They're not trying to prove anything either. They clearly know that Jesus is a historical person. He really did exist. It wasn't made up by the church. You couldn't make up a person like Jesus. think about that too. That's another really good argument. I don't know whether C.S. Lewis was the person who said, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that when you read the Gospels and you read about the sublime teachings of Jesus Christ, you'd have to be smarter than Jesus to make up somebody like Jesus, but nobody's smarter than Jesus. So you'd have to be, it's just implausible that this isn't a real person. So, but we have plenty of historical evidence, as I said, outside the Bible for his career, his life, the fact that people thought he did miracles, all that stuff, and his resurrection as well. A lot of great historical stuff on that. However, I do want to question a little bit this concept that we can't know for sure that Jesus might have been born on December the 25th. But again, just to reiterate a little bit more of the alternate case, here's some other intel on why people think December the 25th was adopted by the church. Some scholars say that, and we do know that our Eastern Christian friends, Orthodox Christians of the East, and we have some Orthodox listeners to the program, they celebrate Christmas on January the 6th, as you know, on January the 6th. And some scholars say that's the earliest date that they can track down Christians celebrating Christmas, the birth of Christ. Now, we do know that, of course, December the 25th is really close to the time of the winter solstice, which we just celebrated here on the 21st. But the Emperor Aurelian, you might have heard this if you're a history buff, the Emperor Aurelian dedicated a temple to the pagan god Sol Invictus, which was the quote-unquote god with a small g that was known as the unconquerable sun. Have you ever heard this before? So this is how December the 25th gets into play, according to some scholars. So the winter solstice, December the 25th, was the date chosen by the emperor dedicating this temple to Sol Invictus. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. In the year 336 AD, okay, now, the first emperor to embrace Christianity was, of course, Constantine, okay, who had this incredible vision: by the sign you will conquer, the sign of the cross. He puts it on the shields of his armies and have this incredible victory. He becomes a Catholic in the end. He kind of waits to be baptized until the very last minute. I guess he was well aware of the baptism washed away all sins prior to baptism, plus dealt with the whole original sin problem as well. So he waits till the very last minute, gets baptized. But we do know that before he converted to the faith, before he converted to Christ, he worshipped this pagan god of the sun, Sol Invictus. So it's some scholars think that Constantine appropriated this December the 25th date because that was associated with Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun, and say, ah, let's use this for the birthday of Jesus Christ because he's the real, quote-unquote, unconquerable sun, the son of God. Get it? So, and this may be the story. There's plenty of people who support this point of view and this idea that you can take what is pagan and baptize it into the faith. That's really what happens with each one of us as well, right? We're pagans who become baptized sons and daughters of God. So why can't we appropriate pagan feasts for the Catholic faith? Why not? But it's a powerful argument, and I grant the full force of that argument. However, there is another side to this. I think there's some pretty good evidence that December the 25th is actually the birthday of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share that with you after this really quick break on the Cale Clark Show. So stay tuned. And plus, yep, I haven't forgotten about Festivus either. So we'll deal with that too after the break. If you want to call in, 888-914-9149. We will be right back. Today, we'd like to thank Therese, who's listening in Minnesota, for donating her Volkswagen. Join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car today.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Our last show before Christmas, 888-914-9149. Last live show. Of course, we're on every day still. 888-914-9149. You heard that. Donate your car at relevantradio.com/car. We need a jingle for that, Lucas. Like the Cars for Kids commercial. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Don't call them. Go to relevantradio.com/cars. Donate your car today. All right.
Maybe I'll send this audio clip of you just saying that to the people. And they'll use it.
Yeah, they'll tag that on the end of the segment. Yep. Okay, so we were talking before the break about whether or not December the 25th actually is the date of Jesus' birth, and I kind of laid out the case before the break that scholars put forth for no, it isn't. Not that it's not of ultimate significance because we know Christ was born, clearly. So if you missed that segment, check it out. You can go to the podcast after the show. It'll be up about an hour after the show. You can check it out. And you can stream it, you can download it, you can share it with a friend. And yesterday's show, we had even more on the historicity of Jesus when it comes to Christmas. But let me lay out the case, the positive case, that, you know what, and I'm not ready to throw in the towel on this one. Because when you look at the records, and I read a piece on this by Al Parada, and he was saying that when you look at the records of the early church, there's no record, and it's a bit of an argument from silence, but there's no records of the early church actually changing its liturgical feast calendar to adopt the pagan festivals and kind of baptize these pagan festivals. Oh, you know what? Okay, this is the year we're going to switch over from, we're going to adopt the pagan festival of Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun. We're going to use that as Jesus' birthday starting now. Okay, no, there's no proof of that. There's no proof against it either. There's no writings in the early church about any kind of debate about this practice, about adopting pagan festivals for Christian feasts. Not, and again, it's I have no issue with it in practice, but you can actually make a pretty good case that December the 25th actually is Jesus' actual birthday after all. There's a guy named, a scholar named Kurt Simmons, who wrote a journal article about this. And he said that, you know, it's no longer academically defensible to say that, you know, December the 25th isn't the date. That's simply not true. That's simply not true. The key to the whole thing is John the Baptist. And there's been a lot of chatter in the liturgy about John the Baptist leading up to Christmas. In Luke chapter 1, verse 36, these are the words of Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel, to Mary at the Annunciation. It's a, Gabriel said to her this, "And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren." So Elizabeth also has a miraculous pregnancy. Now, this is not even close to being like the incarnation, God becoming man. But Elizabeth did need some help because she was well past childbearing years. So a huge divine assist there. But it was a natural conception. So Elizabeth is pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant when Mary conceives Christ in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know, of course, we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation on March the 25th, which is coincidentally 9 months before Christmas. So think about this for a second. John the Baptist was already 6 months old in his mother's womb when Jesus was conceived. So if you can figure out when John was actually born, you can also figure out when Jesus was born. All right, so in Luke's gospel, Luke tells us the account, and by the way, part of this is in today's gospel, about Zechariah, who was a priest, and he was burning incense, part of his priestly duties in the temple, when Gabriel appeared to him and told him, oh, by the way, your wife's going to conceive, and you're going to name your son John, all this stuff. He's like, yeah, how do I know this is going to be true? Dude, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I'm the archangel. Don't you know? Because he didn't believe me, zap, you're not going to be able to speak until he's born. Okay, fine. So Gabriel tells him all this stuff. And just to give you some conception of when this was happening, at what time of the year, the scholar Kurt Simmons did some work on this. And King David, back in David's time, he divided up the priestly duties at the temple into 24 courses, quote unquote, the priestly courses or the priestly orders. So Zechariah belonged to the priestly course of Abijah. That's what it tells us in Luke's gospel. So Simmons did some more research on this. And so the course of Abijah to which Zechariah belonged would have been serving when Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. It would have been serving its 21st station. Now, when did this happen? This happened in our modern calendar. This would have happened from September the 5th to the 11th, somewhere in that time frame. So when would this have happened? It would have been in the autumn equinox, the autumn equinox. So that's when this all happened. So that means that John was actually born at the summer solstice. Now, this makes perfect sense, right? Because if he was conceived, if John was conceived in September, okay, let's fast forward 6 months, October, November, December, January, February, March. When he's 6 months old in his mother's womb, that's when Mary conceives Jesus. So get it? It all kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It all makes sense. So that means that the birth of Jesus was, of course, 9 months after March at the winter solstice. Oh, and by the way, when was the winter solstice under the Julian calendar? December the 25th. December the 25th. But there's more, folks. But there's even more. Now, this is some extra bonus material for you here. Even more evidence that Jesus was born on the 25th, and it comes to us courtesy of the Magi and their absolutely unbelievable journey and the wicked King Herod. So in Matthew's gospel, you got to go to Matthew for this. We'll talk more about the Magi and Herod. Is it the Magi or Magi? People always email about this. It's Magi. So stop calling them the Magi. Well, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, so let's say the wise men, and then no one can get upset. So the Magi present their gifts to Jesus, not in Bethlehem. They've already, this again, the Christmas pageants, they're not real, okay? In the sense that they kind of conflate everything. But by this time, when the Magi show up, they're back in Nazareth. So this is anywhere up to age 2 of Jesus's life, okay? So this comes way after. So think about this for a second. They would have had to stick around, the Holy Family, in the Bethlehem. Bethlehem is really close to Jerusalem, of course. And if you've been to the Holy Land, you know this. So they presented Jesus at the temple 40 days after his birth. You know, the circumcision, all that stuff. So 40 days after he was born, they did this. Then, assuming they left right away to go back home to Nazareth, the Holy Family, it's about a 3 days journey back to Nazareth. So keep this number in your head, 43 days. 40 days from Jesus' birth to his presentation in the temple, 3 days to get back to Nazareth, 43 days. Remember that. Remember that. Now, we know that both Joseph, Matthew tells us that Joseph and the Magi were warned, don't go near Herod. He's going to try to kill the child. So Herod is obviously still alive at this point. And in the last episode, we realized that Jesus was actually born in the BC period because Herod died in 4 BC. He's still alive trying to kill Jesus when he's an infant. So that's because the monk who created the calendar got the dates off by a little bit. So anyways, Jesus was born before Christ, if that makes any sense. So by the way, it's pretty historical, this concept of magi doing things like this. Ancient historians like Dio Cassius and Suetonius, Suetonius was operating in the first century, early second century. They talked about wise men or magi from the East motivated by their reading of the stars to go and visit to pay homage to the Emperor Nero in the year AD 66. So why would they do that? Well, they were obviously, you know, they thought he was some sort of a, and in the Roman Empire, they thought that the emperors were living gods, the sons of God, divine sons of God. They weren't. But there's evidence for that kind of thing happening with ancient magi in the history books. So this is not improbable. This isn't a crazy story that can be considered a legend. All right. So Herod, and by the way, Herod was absolutely, he had gone bonkers at this point. He'd really lost it. He was an extremely disturbed individual at this point. So a lot of historians want to question, did he really order the death of every male child under 2 years of age, as Matthew talks about in his gospel? Nobody in the history books ever wrote about this. Well, that doesn't mean that he didn't do it, because Herod was well known for that kind of violence. He had his wife murdered, his 3 eldest sons murdered towards the end of his life. He really went crazy. And so he was so far gone that even Emperor Augustus, he had this incredible one-liner about Herod and how crazy he was. He said, "I'd rather be Herod's pig than Herod's son." Now, it's actually a pretty funny pun in Greek, because the Greek word for pig sounds almost the same as the Greek word for son. So why did he say that? "I'd rather be Herod's pig than Herod's son," because Herod fancied himself the king of the Jews, so he was adhering to the kosher food laws. He didn't eat pigs, but he'd be very happy to kill his own children. So "I'd rather be Herod's pig than his son. It's safer." And so Emperor Augustus, a very funny joke about Herod, and just tragically not funny because it was true. So anyways, him killing a few kids around Bethlehem, there's less than 1,000 people living in Bethlehem at the time. That would hardly be a blip on the radar screen, not exactly headline news, considering how nuts Herod was and how many other people he killed. Not a surprise that ancient historians don't mention this specifically, but it's totally in keeping with what we know about Herod and his character. So just a little side note on that one. But again, so remember the 43 days, the Holy Family's back in Nazareth. Now, here's the next piece of the puzzle. The Jewish historian Josephus tells us that around this time, Herod was really on his last legs. He was really sick, and he actually died just before Passover, just before the next Passover. So we know that the Magi arrived after Jesus was presented in the temple, but before Herod died, before Herod left Jerusalem and traveled to, where'd he go? He went for a little therapy. He went to the mineral springs at a place called Calirho for treatment. So now this is the last thing I'm going to say. There's a scholar named Andrew Steinman, and he wrote this. This is in a very prestigious journal called Novum Testamentum, which is Latin for New Testament. Anyways, so Andrew Steinman calculated there were actually 62 days between Herod falling sick and the next Passover. So he died before the Passover. So if you add 62 days to the 43 days that we already got. Remember the Holy Family, 40 days after Jesus was born, he gets presented in the temple, 3 days back to Nazareth. So there would have been a maximum of 105 days between the birth of Jesus and the Passover after Herod died. Remember, he died just before Passover. Now, that the Passover that year, what day was it? April the 8th. What comes 105 days before April the 8th? Don't worry, don't pull out your calendar. It's December the 25th. It's December the 25th, Christmas Day. I'm just saying. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Well, hey, can we take our little break now, Lucas? I think we need to reset ourselves, prepare ourselves. Now that we've dealt with the historical reality of Christmas, we are going to deal with the very unhistorical but very fun holiday of Festivus. Why? Because we can. It's kind of like the last day of school. It's the last day before Christmas here for the live show on Relevant Radio, and we'll be right back. Call in 1-888-914-9149. I think you're going to get a chuckle out of this one. We'll be right back.
The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149. Happy to be with you. It's our final live show before Christmas. Maybe you're out shopping. Maybe you're on your way back from work. You're on the West Coast. You're just leaving and you're starting off on your Christmas holidays. Happy to be accompanying you. Or maybe you're celebrating Festivus. Now, what in the world is Festivus? Well, it is the Wikipedia entry on Festivus is actually quite good. It's a secular holiday, which is celebrated on December the 23rd as an alternative to the commercialism of the Christmas season. And this is exactly what that cashier at the liquor store was complaining about to me the other night. And she might have been in the sauce a little bit herself at that point. She was just absolutely aghast at the commercialism of Christmas. And she was saying, Jesus wasn't really born on December the 25th. Well, hopefully, Cashier Kimberly, you were listening to the last few minutes of the show because I dealt with that. So Festivus, not a real holiday, but it became very famous on the television show Seinfeld. Now, originally, Festivus was created by an author by the name of Daniel O'Keefe. And Daniel O'Keefe's son, whom he named Daniel Jr., he just goes by Dan O'Keefe. He was one of the writers on Seinfeld, and he co-wrote a very famous 1997 Seinfeld episode called The Strike. And the writers totally regret not calling it Festivus now, of course. But it actually on Seinfeld. We'll stick closely with the Seinfeld version of it, not how it really happened in Dan O'Keefe's real life. But he began celebrating Festivus, Daniel O'Keefe, in 1966. But in 1977, it happened on Seinfeld. Here's a little clip.
Frank, no offense, but this holiday's a little out there.
Kramer, you can't go. Who's going to do the feats of strength?
How about George?
Good thinking, Cougar. Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
Oh, please, somebody stop this.
Let's rumble!
I think you can take him, Georgie.
Come on, be sensible.
Stop crying and fight your father.
Ow! Ow, I got it!
This is the best Festivus ever!
Okay, so as you can tell by that episode, and if you're a Seinfeld fan, you know this, that Festivus occurs on December the 23rd. It includes a Festivus dinner, an unadorned aluminum Festivus pole in lieu of a Christmas tree. And there are some practices that go along with Festivus. The airing of grievances. We're going to get into that in just a second. The feats of strength. You just kind of heard a little bit about that. You have to pin down the host of the dinner in a wrestling move. Otherwise, Festivus does not end. It just keeps going. Also, the labeling of easily explainable events as Festivus miracles. And of course, that famous 1997 Seinfeld episode refers to it as a Festivus for the rest of us. And it's been depicted in many places as a parody. And also kind of a resistance, a consumer resistance to the commercialization of Christmas and the holiday season. So anyways, it's not real, but we're talking about it for fun. So the original Seinfeld episode that featured Festivus was, of course, originally titled, as I mentioned, The Strike. They wish they named it Festivus. It was broadcast on December the 18th, 1997. So the plot of the episode revolves around Cosmo Kramer, who's played by Michael Richards, returning to work at his old job at H&H Bagels. And George Costanza, played by Jason Alexander, he's opening his mail. He's eating at Monk's Restaurant. And he receives a card from his dad saying, "Dear son, happy Festivus." And this leads to Jerry Seinfeld and Elaine Benes discussing George's father's creation of Festivus. Now, George does not want to talk about this. He does not want to talk about Festivus. But Kramer then wants to resurrect the holiday because at the bagel shop where he's working, Frank Costanza, Jerry's dad, Jerry Stiller, who's George's dad on the program, talks to Kramer about how he created Festivus as an alternative holiday in response to the commercialization of Christmas. And it's kind of funny how he tells that story. He said one day, one Christmas Eve, he went shopping for a toy for his son, and there was one toy left on the shelf, and he and another dad were reaching for this toy at the same time. The other dad got it, and George's father says, "As I was raining down blows on this guy, I thought there has to be a better way." And that's the protest against the commercialization of the holiday. So anyways, there's a whole bunch of other things that go into this, but I'm just going to move ahead really quickly. Eventually, at Frank's house in Queens, Jerry, Elaine, Kramer, and George gather to celebrate Festivus, and George brings his boss to the celebration to prove to him that Festivus is all too real, quote unquote. So anyways, that was the origin of Festivus. And so the airing of grievances, that's one of the practices of Festivus. During the meal, everybody at the meal tells everybody else all the ways they have disappointed them over the past year. Do you have a clip about that, Lucas?
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
All right, so I have to ask you this, Lucas. This is your one chance. Do you have any grievances stored up in your mind against me over the past year?
Carol, they have been piling up. Let me tell you the problems I have, okay? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's hear it. Lay it on me.
Number one. I have become a master at dad jokes and have an impulse wherever I am to break out in song and just start singing things, even if it's getting a sandwich. This I blame on you.
Okay. You should be thanking me. This shouldn't be a grievance.
Well, my wife would be grieving. no. Okay.
Well, anything else?
Another grievance.
Okay.
Your beard.
My beard, yeah.
Is way better than mine.
I can't help it, Lucas. I mean, there's so much testosterone flowing through my body that I'm sorry. I mean, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. I mean, what can I say?
It's just, I'm struggling with that. Third, I am addicted to 80s music now.
Yeah.
Everything has to have a synth pop sound to it or else I don't like it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, this is part of your growth, Lucas, you know?
Finally.
Go ahead.
I have one more. Finally.
Okay, all right.
God has a sense of humor for placing me, a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, to work for a Buffalo Bills fan.
Yeah.
And your team is always better than mine. And I have to listen to you talk about it, and I'm just over here. Like, come on, man. You're killing me.
Come on, man. Yeah, well,
anyways.
That's part of your penance. Anyways. You know, the Dolphins make you cry. You're such a baby because the Dolphins make you cry. Right. And they do. Well, Lucas, that's a pretty king size list of grievances. I didn't know that you were going to say all these things. I'm not hurt by it.
It feels good to let it out. You know, I've been bottling it up for so long.
Well, I have some grievances I want to air with you, producer all Lucas, right. here on the Gail Clark Show on Relevant Radio. The grievances that I want to air concerning you are as follows. Lucas, you care too much and you work too hard. You know, it's like those job interview questions, right? Whenever you have a job interview, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Well, my weaknesses are I care too much. I work too hard.
Yes.
No, but Lucas, I have very, very few complaints about you other than, yes, your beard is a little scraggly, but I've got the solution for you there.
Okay.
I've got the solution. Just get some crazy glue. Beavis and Butthead did this on one episode of their cartoon show. Cut off your own hair from your head and glue it onto your face. And that can be your beard. Okay, that's a great way to thicken it.
That is, I guess that's an option.
It still looks somewhat natural. I mean, it is your own hair after all. So it might be a little clumpy, but it works. It works in a pinch. And when you're older, you'll be able to grow in the whole thing. So don't worry. Don't worry. You too will have this luxurious face sweater that I have.
Maybe if I move farther north where you're at.
Yeah.
The weather will impact it too.
I got to tell you, you need it. I have a grievance against Patrick Alog. He's not even here, but I know where he is right now. He's lounging on a beach somewhere in Southern California on his Christmas vacation. He's our regular call screener here on the program on the Cale Clark Show, and that's how he celebrates Christmas. I'm not jealous at all, but here's another thing that they celebrate on Festivus, and that is the famous feats of strength. So after the Festivus meal, feats of strength are performed, which usually involve wrestling the head of the household to the floor, and the holiday only ends when you can pin the head of the household. Do you have a little clip on this?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's hear it.
Frank, no offense, but this holiday's a little out there.
Kramer, you can't go. Who's going to do the feats of strength?
How about George?
Good All thinking, right. Cougar.
All right, so that's what happens. And I will say this, Festivus will probably never end on the Cale Clark Show because there is no way. I'm kind of the head of the household here. Lucas, there is no way that you can pin me, man. I'm telling you right now. I will take you down every single time.
Yeah, this is, you know what? You're probably right.
I weigh more than you. I'm a little bit overweight, and I'm going to use that as momentum to pin you.
Did you wrestle in high school?
I did not, but kids used to suplex me on the playground, so it was very WWE style. Don't try this stuff at home. They really do mean that. Like some bigger kid on the playground, Atomic dropped me. If you know what that move is, you can Google that. That really hurt. Like I think I broke my tailbone on that one. But
somebody in studio who I think could take you, Cale.
Well, I was just gonna say so. Nick Centovich is answering the phone calls today here on the Cale Clark Show, and there's still time to call in 888-914-9149. But I will say this: there is no he could end Festivus right now by pinning me. If I wasn't safely out of his reach here in Toronto, he would absolutely. I am not taking on Nick.
Cale,
he's there. Oh, hello, Nick.
I'm
hello.
Here. Yeah, all I have to say, Cale, is don't go against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Oh, yeah, those are wise words. But Nick's a pretty, for everybody listening out there, Nick's a pretty imposing dude. And when I met him personally in Chicago last summer, I realized that, you know, when Festivus comes around, there's no way. He could end it simply by, he could pin me, he could body slam me. I know when to hold him, know when to fold him, know when to walk away, and I would definitely know when to run. And I'd be running away from you, Nick, so... I'm safe here in Canada. You can't get to me. Can't get through the border. There's no way they'll let you through without like a million really expensive COVID tests. So I feel pretty safe, but I wouldn't want to risk it with you. I wouldn't because you're Sicilian. I didn't even know that. That's
yeah. My mother's family's from Palermo, so I always have that in my back pocket.
Awesome. Well, that's a good one to have, man. And great pizza too.
Great pizza. The best pizza.
The best. And mail me a slice from mom.
We actually, you know, the Chicagoland area, you can get a lot of the good Chicago pizzas shipped frozen to you. So maybe Lucas will send you a Christmas gift of pizza.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about
really
this.
Generous.
We'll have to talk about this another time because there's people who say, was it Lou Palermo's? Is that his name? Lou Palermo? Is deep dish pizza?
Malnati.
Lou Malnati.
Oh, Lou Malnati. Yeah. Who's Lou Palermo?
Well, there is a Palermo's frozen pizza. I don't know if
that's really? Okay, I thought Lou Palermo coached Appalachian State in the 1970s or something. But Lou Malnati, yeah, they focused on him a little bit on Monday Night Football last week because it was in Chicago. The Vikings were playing the Bears, and the Monday Night Football crew got a delivery of Lou Malnati's pizza. But a lot of Chicagoans, I'm told, we're totally on a sidetrack here, but they say deep dish is not the way to go. It's they don't like
tavern style is the way to go.
Tavern style.
That's what the people quote unquote in the know think, that tavern style, the cracker thin crust pizza, is where to go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
The deep dish is just for the tourists. I like both. I'm an equal opportunity pizza person, but there is consensus that tavern style is real Chicago style, and it's good pizza.
Okay. Well, my vote is next Festivus, we'll do it live. We'll do it live in Chicago, tavern style. How about that?
I'm in.
And we'll wash it down.
Sounds good.
With a beverage of choice. I like that.
In the meantime, Kale, maybe we can do a swap here. We'll send you some Lou Malnati's if you send us some Tim Hortons.
Yeah, I know you want your Tim Biebs. I know you want your
poutine.
Tim Biebs. yeah. The Tim Biebs, by the way, are going for millions of dollars on the internet. People are eBaying all the Tim Biebs merchandise, the hats, the donuts. I don't know how stale they'd be when they get to you, but so Lucas, you may or may not have a stocking stuffer on the way in the mail.
All right.
It'll be squished by the time it gets there, but it'll be tasty. Tim Bieb. All right. Well, it's been a treat speaking of Tim Biebs, it's been a treat talking to you, Nick. And
thanks, Kale.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you and your family. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Enjoy Christmas in Canada.
I will.
Sounds like a name of a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, one of those Hallmark romances. Yeah. Christmas in Canada. Yeah. That's. I like that. So, yeah, definitely from the Clark family, from me and my wife, Patricia, obviously my daughter, Michaela, we wish everybody listening out there a very Merry Christmas and a really Happy New Year as well. So we will be with you live for the next time in 2022. I can't believe it. But it's been another incredible year here at Relevant Radio on the Cale Clark Show and also with the Faith Explained program, too. It's been so much fun, as always. What a privilege it is to be with you every day, twice a day, on this wonderful, wonderful network, which is really a family. And Lucas, any greetings that you want to pass on to the good listeners out there?
I'm just really grateful to be a part of this team and It's amazing just to talk to so many people who call in, and it really is like a family. So there's people that call into the show, and I recognize their voice, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, so thank you, and a very, very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Absolutely. A Happy New Year, a healthy a New Year, and most importantly, a very holy New Year. That's what we want. So do we have time to play that call from Steve? Oh, we don't. Oh, that's too bad. But we had a great call from Steve a couple days ago. We'll play that for you next time. And I just so appreciate everybody listening. It's been such a blast. And wish everybody Merry Christmas. And please stay tuned.
Another Festivus miracle.
Yeah, it's a Festivus miracle. And most importantly, we've established that although Festivus is not real, Christmas definitely is. So wise men and women still seek the Savior. And I hope that you'll do that. Take some time, read the Gospels, get your nose in the Bible, face the book, get off Facebook and face the book, and enjoy all the great episodes of Relevant Radio that you can stream over the holidays. Share them with a friend. Timory is up next, followed by Father Rocky and the Family Rosary across America. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.